How's everybody doing? It's so good to see all of you. I trust you're doing well. I've had a great weekend, and I'll get out of your way just as soon so you guys can get home and fire up the grill for the rest of the afternoon, all right? But before we go, boy, just what a great worship experience this morning. Gina, you're on fire wherever you're at, and the whole worship team, don't they do just an awesome job here? They're doing a great job. Proud of them. And if you're joining us online, welcome. I'm Dan. I'm one of the pastors here at Hammock Street. And we're just having a blast serving the Lord here. And hopefully you've had a great week. So I want to get into it right now without using up any more of my time. I need the time. And it's just my time with you, you know? And so we've been in our series called Faithful. And, you know, most of us talking about providential relationships, or what I would call divine relationships. Everyone say that. Say divine relationships. Now, when I speak, I like a little bit of feedback. So when I tell you to say something, say it. So we're going to have fun here this morning. And this is really what I want to talk about today, because just at the right time, if you think about your life and the span of your life year to date, that the Lord has used someone, at least one person, or maybe a handful of people, only over the scope of your whole life, that He used as what I would call divine relationships to step into your life at just the right time. And maybe this individual or this person was there to help give you hope, help, encouragement. Maybe it was finances, maybe just a fresh or a new perspective, or to help you through a difficult time in your life. And I want you to consider that. Maybe there's that other person, or the same person, or a different person that came and brought correction or confrontation. You may not have liked that so much, but maybe looking back on that, you say, you know what, that was probably what I really needed at that time, because it's made me who I am today, right? So you have those thoughts in mind. So I want you to think about this morning, has there been a time where God brought somebody into your life that was really a providential relationship or a divine relationship where it was there to help you get to your next step? Now, let me ask you secondly, maybe you have that person come in, but have you played that role in somebody else's life? Have you taken maybe somebody else under your wing, maybe someone older or younger than you, and you had the ability to help? You had the ability to provide hope and encouragement and a new perspective for somebody else. And then the last question I would ask you here this morning is, if you were that person in someone else's life, or that other person was in your life, have you reached back out to them to provide the affirmation to them, to encourage them, to simply say thank you? Because a lot of times when you affirm those divine or providential relationships in your life, I mean, they're divine not because you authored them. They're divine or providential because God is the one that actually put them into your life, right? You couldn't have arranged it better. God is the author of all that good stuff, right? And all the good things come from God, and He is the one. So consider, if someone came into your life and they helped you, have you affirmed that through the years? And maybe you were to say, you know what? I don't know that I ever really thanked that person. I don't know that I ever really affirmed the fact that they actually really helped me during this time in my life. So maybe, I don't know, for you, maybe your spouse is your saving grace. Maybe it was a boss or an employer or a coworker or somebody that really helped you just for maybe a season. It may not be for your whole life, but maybe it helped you get started in a certain place or in a certain job opportunity. And I want you to consider that this morning, because God uses two things. He uses proximity and He uses community. He uses both of these things together as the church to bring about His purpose and His will in our lives. And so when we see God's faithfulness in other people's lives, we then can consider, well, hey, if God did that for Judy, maybe He'll do it for me. If God did it for Heath, maybe He would consider helping me. If God did it for all y'all, maybe He could help me and do that. And God uses those things to strengthen and grow our relationship as people of God, as Jesus followers, as Jesus freaks, as whoever you, however you title yourself, God uses other people inside the household of faith to help you grow. You need the church. You can't just watch it all online all the time, right? It's not an online church, even though you can get online. But God uses these divine relationships to help build us. And one of the essential ingredients that we're talking about for mine today in our week four of our series is this idea of our faith being providential relationships as an essential ingredient in growing our faith. So what I would call divine relationships, meaning God breathed into our life, meaning we couldn't have arranged it better if we could have done it ourselves. God is the only author of that, and he dropped them into your life at just the right time. Let's go to the scripture if we can. I'm going to read to you. We're going to take a look at John chapter 1. Now listen, when someone says I'm going to read to you, I think about my ma, and I used to lay on her lap as a kid, or she'd tuck me in bed at night and get all the sides wrapped in real nice and tight so I felt secure and safe, and she'd read to me and I would go off to sleep. If I see any of you sleeping, I'm going to come over there. If I see any of you sleeping, I'm going to send Matt over to you. Matt is a 9th degree black belt. He will help you. And so no sleeping as I read to you. And what I want you to see here, I'm going to read to you a few verses of scripture. That's why I give this preliminary intro, is because there's a progression here of events of how God begins to use people simply with an invitation, simply with a, hey, come check this out. But you begin to see how many people this invitation begins to touch. And this invitation, my friend, is still out there from 2,000 years ago, and we're still constantly inviting people to come and see Jesus. Take a look at it. Do you have John chapter 1 there? I'm going to try to read most of this from the screen, and I'm going to make some comments in between. So he says, I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Next verse. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when Jesus' two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. He says, "What do you want?" And he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher. He says, "Where are you staying?" He said, come and see. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men that heard what John said and then followed Jesus. So a few more people are following. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, hey, we found the Messiah, which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, which actually means the rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Now he found Philip, and he said, hey, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Couple more verses, people. You all right? You still out there? Are you sleeping yet? All right, stay awake. Couple more verses. Nazareth, Nathanael explained. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip says, come see for yourself. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. He says, how do you know anything about me? Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus said, do you believe this? Just because I told you I had seen you under a fig tree, you will see greater things than this. I think there's one or two verses left here. Then he said, I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open, the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Is that my last verse for that one? Okay. So you didn't fall asleep, so I'm proud of you. Good job. So what we see here is this progression of events of all of these guys that are just simply talking about Jesus and inviting them to come meet Jesus. And this whole motley crew that I just told you about became the 12 disciples that would walk up and down the Judean hillsides with Jesus Christ himself, watching him preach to thousands, do miracles to thousands, and heal and deliver and save and do well by. It was this group that simply started with an invitation that said, come and see. And of course, Nathanael then says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And there's two things a lot of times that we discredit in our lives, and it's people and it's places. They said it about Jesus. Oh, that's just Joseph, the carpenter's son. Or can anything good come out of Nazareth? But I want you to know this morning is that God orders your steps from the beginning, just like he was talking to Nathanael and said, hey, why do you say that I'm the Son of God? Because I said I saw you under the fig tree? He's saying, I'm going to blow your mind, buddy. You're going to see a lot more than just me seeing you under a tree. You're going to find a man dying on a tree on the cross for your sins who's going to save the entire world and die for the sins of the entire world. And so the issue here today is that as Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning long before you ever got up in the morning, God already had a plan for you. And long before the disciples ever got together and were called the disciples, they just had a guy that they wanted to come and see. And really, I want you to think about this today, because the divine relationships, the providential relationships, are the relationships that God has set up for a purpose in your life. And I want you to think about Nathanael just for a minute, because if he would have just said, you know what, I'm tired. I was out late last night with my girlfriend. We were at the movies and I'm tired. I don't want to go see some guy named Jesus. We're fine. Maybe I can see him next Sunday. Maybe he'll be online and I'll just send me the YouTube link and I'll check him out then. He could have just said, I'm doing something else and I'm not really interested. I want you to consider the opportunities that knock on the door of your life when you have an opportunity. So many of you say the word no. I said to my wife, I said, do you speak any Spanish? Is there any other languages that you speak? She goes, yeah, I speak Spanish and I know one word. And you know what it is? No, right? It's universal. Well, for some of us, opportunities come our way, and it becomes very difficult for us to say yes because we're afraid of the future or we're afraid of the unknown. I need to send all of you to a yes conference. Okay, we got one laugh there. That's good. We're piping in sunshine here to the right side here, stage right. But here's the issue is that so many times is the unknown, it's scary to us, and we don't know. I mean, sometimes we're afraid that God is going to ask us to go to Africa before he's asked you to go next door. Just relax. Just come and see. And so the issue here with Nathanael is that God let him choose. God let him make a choice, but he leads you with an opportunity to choose and to do the right thing and for you to accept it. Should you choose to accept it? It is definitely mission impossible is what it seems like in the natural. But in talking about divine relationships, there's certain relationships that God has put into my life. Number one, my dad. I've got a great relationship with my dad. And not everybody can say this, but my dad was not only my father, but he was also my employer. He was also my boss. He was also my pastor. My dad was also my judge. But the Bible says that there's safety in a multitude of counsel. Now, I would put him on the phone with you right now, but he's preaching in his church and probably going for it. My dad is, I think, 79 years old and still going for it, will never retire. How do you retire from serving the Lord, right? And so he's probably preaching right now. But there's someone else that was in my life long before I was married. I've been married 24 years now, and long before I was full-time in the ministry as a pastor, and that was probably 25, 26, maybe 27 years ago. And I was preaching a conference at my home church in Detroit area. And it was a youth conference. And there was about, I don't know, maybe 200 kids sitting out there. And a pastor, I didn't know him yet, but he was down from Bay City, Michigan. Bay City, Michigan and Detroit, there's about an hour and a half difference, the suburbs of Detroit, you know, much like Boca here. And so he had come down as an invited speaker for the adult service, and I was taking care of all the youth department as the special speaker for that night, for that weekend. And he came down, and this guy that I had never met before, he came up to me after the service was over, and in the first thing that, I'll never forget it, the first thing that he said to me was, "Oh, it looks like that God is doing a little seasoning in your life." And I thought, seasoning? All I could think of was steak and something on the grill, you know, seasoning. "Oh, it looks like the Lord is doing some seasoning in your life." And I was maybe 20, 21, and I was fresh out of Bible college. I was on fire for the Lord. I had my theology degree, and I was ready to go for it. And he said, "Listen, I'd love for you to come to Bay City and preach a youth conference for us in August." This was around June time, so I had a couple months before I would head north. And again, from Detroit to Bay City, Michigan, you're about an hour and a half difference. I thought, Bay City, Michigan? I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know it was on the map. And I didn't know what to expect in a place with people I didn't know and places I didn't know, with cornfields and pole barns. I didn't know anything really about it. But that day, if he would have said to me, "Come to Bay City," I could have said, "Bay City? Can anything good ever come out of Bay City? Have you guys ever said these types of things, or am I the only one?" And so I said, "You know, I'd love to come. I don't even know where Bay City is. I'll have to actually look on a map." This is long before Apple Maps or Google Maps or any other digital form of maps. That's when you actually printed it out and wrote down the right turn from the left turn and you passed the tracks. But I want to tell you something, that this story really resonates with me, because it was a divine relationship. It was providential that God was opening the door for something that I would never know about if I would never go that route, and I had the ability to choose. And do you know that from that one relationship, my entire life began to unravel in a very positive way, that speaking engagement from that youth conference turned into a 30-day youth revival. Literally every single night, hundreds of people, let alone hundreds of teenagers, coming out every single night in this little place called Bay City, Michigan. And cornfields and pole barns. I felt like, you know, coming from Detroit area and the big city, this place seemed very small at the time. But little did I know it would become a land flowing with milk and honey. Little did I know I would then go 30 days. They would invite me to become part of their teaching staff as a pastor on that staff for that church. I would spend the next 10 years of my life there. I would get licensed and ordained in the ministry there. Oh, and did I mention I met my wife there of 24 years? Met my wife, had two of the four kids, or three of the four, I don't remember, had two of the four kids in Bay City, in my whole, and then from there planted a church after that, 10 years later. Talking about a divine relationship, I had an opportunity, but I also had a decision to make in that youth conference back in June in my home church. I could have said, "Bay City, I don't even know what that is," and walked a different route, and I could have had, unfortunately, I would not have this second row from the back filled this morning if I would have went a different route. This guy, Pastor David, he's been my pastor and my friend. I pastored his church when he went on sabbatical for about 6 or 9 months a while back. We've got great relationship, and I feel as though him and I can just pick right up where we left off, and I feel like I could probably just call him. Well, you know what? I think we should just call him. What do you think? You think he'll pick up? Let's just see if he'll pick up, just to prove my point to you. Hey, Surrey, call David Ferranti. You think I'm joking?
Good morning.
Pastor David.
How are you?
How the heaven are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm here at our Boca Church, and I'm speaking in front of all of them. And we've been talking about divine relationships and just talking about our story together, you and I, and how we met and how God has really paired us up. I just wondered if you'd like to say hello to the church and speak into this on the spot.
Sure. Well, hey, everybody. This is Dave Ferrante. Met Dan when he was a young whippersnapper out of Bible college. But we sensed the anointing on his life, and we believe that divine connections are when God connects you with somebody, but in order for that relationship to stay effective or alive, both parties have to invest in it. Couldn't have been one-sided. It's got to be both. And Dan and I recognized each other and said, you know what? Let's follow God. Let's follow, help each other. And we've been doing that now for a lot of years.
Are you running?
Yeah.
I knew it. You sounded like you were working on a heart attack, but that's good. I'm glad you're running.
How's the church there? How's everybody?
We are doing great.
Hey, sounds like there's some fire over there.
Yeah, they're shouting you down, and I really appreciate you answering, and we're just talking about how the fact that we can call each other. I don't know that in this church or any other church that the actual pastor gets on the phone in front of the whole church, but I felt like it would prove my point.
Well, we're glad to be in your life, Dan, and we're very proud of you and your family, how it's grown. And, you know, I think as brothers in Christ, you know, the Bible says that we're to prefer each other higher than ourselves. So it's never about just what I get out of the relationship. It's what can I sow into it. And you and I have been doing that for a lot of years.
Well, hey, I just want you to know I love you. And by the way, happy birthday. I think happy birthday is in order. You're 60 years old, right?
60 years old. My goodness. I'm kind of like a bottle of wine. I just get better with time, my wife says.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, I'll let you continue your run, and so glad to talk to you, and thanks for saying hi to the church. We love you.
Absolutely. Tell everybody we said hi. Love you, brother.
See you, buddy. All right. Bye-bye. All right. All right. Now, is that not cool or what? How many pastors do you know that get on the phone in the middle of, excuse me, I just got to take a quick text here and make a phone call? But I want you to know that those relationships are probably very few and far between in your life where, you know, you can just call someone like that out of the blue. Now, he's a pastor. You say, well, why is he running and not at his church? His son plays for Brett Young, the country music, if you know anything about country music. So he's in Nashville visiting his son and his daughter, which live down there. So, but normally he still has his church in Bay City. And I thought that that was important for you to recognize this morning, to really be able to have friends and people and mentors and people in your life. I mean, he knew me before I was married. He's got a lot of dirt on me, so if you really want to find that out, feel free to reach out to him. Or maybe don't. Maybe don't do that. But I'll be sending him the link for later on for the service today, and I'm sure he'll love seeing that. But, you know, here's what I want to say, is those divine relationships that God puts in your life, I couldn't have arranged that. I didn't know this guy who came to me and said, hey, come to my church. In the same way, he didn't know me, but there was a divine connection that Pastor David talked about there, and we had that connection right from the beginning. And right from the beginning, we took off, and it didn't mean that I did everything right all the time. It didn't mean that he did everything right all the time. It's like a marriage. A good marriage is good not because it doesn't have conflict. A good marriage is good because it has the spirit of reconciliation, right? So when people first get married, we kind of encourage them, go have a fight, because when you do, just make sure that you can reconcile. Because if you can't, you ain't meant to be together, right? Because marriage is going to bring its own troubles of its own. But this is not marriage counseling. So let's move on. But I wanted you to meet Pastor David. Maybe someday if I can get him to Florida, we'll have him come down here. You'd love the guy. But the interesting thing here about this is, although I can call him at any moment and we just pick up where we left off, if he's on a run, he picks up. If I'm out doing what I'm doing, if I can pick up, I pick up. And it's those types of relationships that God puts in your life that hopefully you still have today, or even if you don't, they were in your life for a season and for a purpose, and it helps you grow spiritually. That's why it's there. Secondly, I want you to see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. I won't read to you as much as I read to you on the first one. This is only two or three verses. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works." And, everyone say, and. "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but..." Okay, just making sure our feet are on the ground here, people. But one thing that we've kind of been highlighting, and I've been mentioning over the last couple weeks, especially in our offering, it's not an offering sermon per se, but just in our offering thoughts, was this idea of random acts of kindness. Have you recall that? I've been kind of talking to you about that every single week and encouraging you, hey, go do something for somebody else. Go just, well, who? I don't know. Pick someone. There's all kinds of people. And just go do something nice. It doesn't have to cost a lot. It can if you have just, disposable income. You can do that. But just go do a random act of kindness, because when you do, it creates acts of love and good works in their lives. And so we had the youth out the other night, and so we did our Bible study at Christian Chicken, Chick-fil-A. And we were there, and one of the girls in our group, she goes, "You know, I've never had Chick-fil-A before." And we looked at her, we were like, "What? That is almost a sin. I mean, how can you be here and never have had Chick-fil-A?" So I handed my debit card to my son, and I said, "Go get her whatever she has to experience Christian Chicken." It was just a random act of kindness. There's nothing else to say about it. She loved it. And we were there with our group, and Vanessa dumped her entire vanilla shake all over her. We'll have pictures that we'll post later of all that, and she would love that. And so just random acts of kindness that I want you guys, as young adults, as older adults, doesn't matter who you are. So I was at it again the other day. I like to lead by example. I'm not just up here to toot my own horn, not at all. But I give you these stories as an encouragement to motivate you to random acts of kindness. Well, a couple weeks back, one of the teenagers in group, he seemed to like my shoes, so I took them off and I gave them to him at that moment. Drove home with my cute little feet, right? And they're very cute too, by the way, and very flat-footed. I appreciate that. So I was out again the other day, and I had another pair of tennis shoes in my car. And you know, you stop at these lights, and our lights here in South Florida are so long, right? And you can text a lot, you can email, phone. That's what everybody does, not me. I'm not telling you that I do. I'm just saying that it happens when I look over and see other people doing it. And so the guy was there, the homeless guy, and he's holding up a sign, and they put their requests, they make them known for whatever reason. Some signs have a lot of words, but, you know, with the lights for as long as they are, we could literally read a book, so it's okay. And I noticed, and I looked down, and guy was dirty, and he was filthy, and I had a really nice pair of tennis shoes in my car that I had actually recently bought. And I was like, oh, man, I'm looking at this guy, and I looked at his feet, and his feet are coming out the end of his tennis shoes. And again, I don't really like to, I don't necessarily, when it's on the street like that, I don't like to pay for, like, drugs and all kinds of stuff, but I do like to give food or something if I have it. Because sometimes you don't really know, unless the Lord specifically goes a specific way with a specific person, then you do that, right? But I had these shoes, and I was looking at his feet, and I thought, oh, man, I really like these shoes, but this guy, he needs some shoes. And so I'm sitting at the light, and he's walking up, and I happen to be all the way over on the left side, you know, closest to the median, and I pulled my window down, and I'm like, hey, man, he goes, what you got? And I'm like, oh, man, I got a lot of stuff, buddy, but for you, this is what I got. And I'm like, hey, man, do you need some shoes? And I pull them out, these beautiful shoes, and he's like, well, what size are they? I'm like, who cares? I mean, they're brand new. So, and I'm like, hey, man, just check them out. These are a 10. And he's like, oh, man, that's perfect. I'm like, well, I want you to have them. I want to make sure that your feet are good, that you can, you know. And he goes, man, he goes, God bless you. And he does the sign of the cross. And I'm like, God bless you too, buddy. Just be careful out here. But I tell you these stories to encourage you with random acts of God blesses me for doing this stuff. I'm telling you. It's not a joke. I'm not trying to take an offering now. We already did that. So God blesses you when you take care of other people with random acts of kindness because it motivates them to do good. I want to motivate you to do the right thing and to be that special person in somebody else's life that maybe they're praying for. I try to teach my kids. I'm like, look, if I have three boys and a little girl, so that little girl will live with me forever. But the boys, I'm like, go, get a job, J-O-B, get out. And how did I say that? And the issue there is some girl right now is praying for a man of God. Some girl is praying for a guy with a successful job. Did you catch the successful job? A J-O-B. Guys, don't even think about it if you don't have a couple of greenbacks to offer her, right? This is just free for some of you. But the issue here is I'm telling my kids now, be who that other person is looking for. Be that person right now. You want to, if you're a guy looking for a godly woman, be a godly man right now. If you're a girl looking for a godly man, be a godly girl right now. Be who that other person is crying out to God for, though it might not be for 20 years, especially in my family. 20 years, Nina, did you hear that? At 20 years, she's 12, right? So the issue here is that God always has our best interests at heart, and the faithfulness of God when it comes to community and proximity, it all matters. You just got to be there. Just if you'll just show up and be who God wants you to be in that moment, maybe you would be that providential person in somebody else's story that causes them to follow God and seek God for the rest of their life. You don't know. You don't know when the Lord says, hey, pay for the guy's coffee behind you in line or in Starbucks or whatever. Do this or do that, or just, it's not about money. Just do this or give them that. Or if you just have that sense on the inside of you, nothing spooky, nothing religious. Religion is the perfect science of making easy things difficult. Just be you and be that providential, be that divine person in somebody else's life that they can look back and say, you know what? As a result of this, this caused the trajectory of my life to change. And all of a sudden, I'm now way over here, all because this one person stuck their neck out for me and made it okay. Does that make sense this morning? And so what I want you to know here is that a couple things, a couple thoughts here, and then I'm almost done, which means absolutely nothing. People drift from the community of faith before they drift away from faith. Meaning people lose faith when they lose contact with people of faith. Does that make sense? So your relationships within the community are super important. The relationships that you have and the ones that you have and the ones that you don't know you're going to have, those are going to be very important. And you know that there's two things that are eternal in this life. It's the Word of God, number one, and people. We're all going to live in eternity somewhere. And so it's that enduring faith that helps you to grow as a believer, to have the right friends around you. In our student group, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians 15. I think we have that scripture. And it says this, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. This is not just for teenagers. This is for adults too. And character being the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we behave represents our character. Well, if bad company can corrupt good character, then I believe that good company can enable the faith of God in your life and to help you to grow and to be challenged and to keep growing spiritually. So if it's the little foxes that destroy the vine, the little things can also help it grow in a positive direction. And so in the same way that Philip encouraged Nathanael, just come and see. He ended up being a catalyst in Nathanael's story. Remember I read to you John chapter 1, that whole thing? He became a catalyst in his life to be part of the 12 disciples, but if Nathanael that day was just tired, or he had been out late the night before, or he had been doing whatever he wanted to do, and if he wasn't willing to be who God wanted him to be, Philip could have just said, I'm not telling that guy. He's just going to tell me no anyway. It doesn't matter what side of the spectrum that you're on. If you will just simply be obedient to be that divine inflection and inspiration in somebody else's life, you could change the entire course of their life through one act of obedience toward the Lord. And the people we choose to do life with, they influence the direction of our lives and the endurance of our faith. And like I just told you, most of the time when people lose faith, you're not just going to walk out of here and lose faith today. The first thing that you're going to lose is the community of faith, your friendship base, the influence that's over your life, a great atmosphere here on Sunday morning. But the moment you start drawing back and the moment you start drawing away, you draw back, but then you also draw into something else. You invite another group of people into your circle. We have, with my wife and I, we've got a large group of, I love them to death, unchurched friends. They're awesome. Nobody wears a mask. They just are who they are, and I love it. But the Lord puts us in those places not so that we can be corrupted, but so that we can be a light in a dark place. We bought this new canopy and patio furniture and all this stuff. And we were sitting out and enjoying it the other day, and it has these solar lights underneath the umbrella. Big word for me today. It's got these automatic solar lights under the umbrella. And the sun was still out, and it was still going down, so it was still light out. And I'm like, oh, I wonder, you know, I wonder if these lights will get a little brighter as it gets darker out. And Ashley, because she's so deep and smart and pretty, she goes, well, Dan, the darker it is outside, the brighter a light will be. So true. And it got dark out, the sun went down, beautiful sunset, and these solar lights lit up our patio just perfectly. Not too light, not too bright, not too, it was perfect, right? But I want to tell you, if you faint in the day of adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. I don't want to be known for having small strength. I'm in the gym 5-6 days a week for a reason, because my kids get me in there and say, Dad, you got to get in. Come on, let's keep going. And you don't see all the wraps that are on my knees right now because I have my jeans on and the Motrin that I eat like Skittles half the time just to keep the inflammation down. I'm just playing. But here, the Lord uses these things to help grow us and to help build us. But if you faint in the day of adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. Last page. You good? Which means what? Absolutely nothing. But if you've been unplugged a little bit from the Lord, maybe you're online listening to me and you're not really a church-going person, but every now and then you tune in here, I really appreciate the fact that you did. But if you're unplugged from the Lord or never been plugged in at all, then I want to encourage you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Why? Because He loves you. He died for you. He's committed to you no matter what. You're not some big VIP sinner that the blood of Jesus Christ can't forgive. Come on. You're not an island to yourself. You're just not out there alone. Even if you feel like you are, the Lord is there and the Lord sees you, the Lord loves you, and the Lord cares about you. But church, I want to encourage you to get on mission. I'm not talking about the unplugged ones and those that don't know the Lord. I'm talking about those of you that call yourself Christians and you say, hey, I know the Lord. Well, then let's get on mission. There's a reason why Miller Lite, Coca-Cola, Victoria's Secret, and Nike and any other company at Super Bowl spend over $3 million for a 30-second spot. I don't even know what it's up to now. There's a reason why that they advertise during that time, because they know everybody's watching. And they say, hey, drink this, wear this, you can be like this if you buy this from us. They're inviting you to buy a product, right? And what I'm asking you to do is continue to invite people. So if they're out there, whether it's Miller Lite and Victoria's Secret and Coca-Cola, they're all out there. They don't even probably necessarily need to do that. These are publicly traded companies. Do they really need to advertise? I mean, I wonder what I would look like if I bought some Victoria's Secret. I'm going to be done. How about that? But what I want to encourage you guys today is to get on mission. Just start inviting people. Ask someone, hey, come and see. I'm not asking you to preach a whole message. I'm not asking you to run a small group, even though that's an opportunity for you. I'm just saying, invite your friends to the Lord. Invite them to church. Just talk to your friends and be that influential person where you could be that divine interruption in somebody's life where it literally causes them to say, you know what? As a result of this person's obedience, it caused me to follow the Lord for the rest of my life. And that's what this message is about today, is that God uses our relationships to strengthen and grow our faith with other Jesus followers. How many of you would say you're a Jesus follower today, right? And I just appreciate Pastor David this morning getting online with us today and talking with us and meeting with us and just encouraging us. And I want to tell you that the Master, Jesus Christ, is still knocking on the door of your heart today. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you that He loves you. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead to give you a brand new life. And we are waiting for the return of Christ. And so the whole purpose of getting on mission is so that we can get as many people ready to go to heaven that are ready to go when He comes again. Or if He tarries longer, someday we will meet our Maker. I want to pray for you this morning, and I want to encourage you, just go pick somebody, anyone, and go do a random act of kindness. You can ask the Lord every day, Lord, lead me to the right person. You can do that. If you didn't pray, you can still go pick someone, and the Lord can use that too. But if you pray specifically, I can promise you that God will lead you to the exact person that you need to help for that week, for that day, or for that moment, whatever it is. But I want to encourage you to motivate other people to love God and to do good as well. Does that make sense this morning? Let me pray for you. Bow your head, close your eyes. It's 11:03 and God's not nervous. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for this message today on providential relationships, being an essential ingredient in the building blocks of our spiritual growth. We thank you, Lord, for our church today. And I just, because I never know who's in our crowd and online watching, I want you to pray this prayer out loud and together with me, if you will. If you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again from the dead to give me a brand new life. Teach me to live for you as you show me how. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Was this okay for you this morning? All right. You are dismissed. If you need special prayer, I'm here for you. Have a great day. Go fire up the grill, will you?